Hitting it, getting it for a brand new day, 844, starting out at 44 degrees. We've got rain in the area. It's a breezy start to a brand new day for sure. And you're seeing some of the heavier shower activity going through Helen, parts of Habersham County, Clarksville, and places like that. You're seeing a little bit of the heavier showers falling at the moment. Okay, so let's make a trip to Mars, shall we? Yes, that's what we're going to do right now, because we're checking in with Tom McCarthy, who joins us now from L.A. He's just outside of L.A., so he's up early in the morning. Give the guy a break, okay? And he's with Motive. He's an engineer with Motive Engineering. And you guys at Motive did something really big, a couple of big things that are now on Mars, sending back some incredible pictures. Talk about that new camera that's on there.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. That Mastcam Z that sits right below the head of the rover, which has that fancy laser on it, have been two of the cameras that are bringing back those incredible panoramic views. It's the first time they've had cameras that have a zoom and focus capability working together, so you're getting like full stereoscopic 4K immersive imagery. And it's awesome. The stuff that's coming back already is just incredible.
What are some of the challenges in designing something like this? It's going to be in that environment, especially when it's an environment that you physically, personally haven't been in.
So one of the things that you've probably heard as you've been hearing the sounds and so forth from Mars, so you can infer that there's a lot of wind motion, and so that means there's a lot of dust and things flying around. So we have to make sure those cameras are sealed appropriately, so that we don't get any fine dust in there that would affect the ability for the mechanism to work or hurt the imagery process. Also, those cameras have to experience some incredible temperature thresholds from night to daytime. And so the camera has to survive. So it gets really, really cold. And then during the day, it warms up, so that huge temperature swing usually is something that you have to design for, make sure that there's plenty of compliance in the system so that it holds together well and operates, you know, correctly all the time.
Now, obviously, with all that dust going, not only getting into the camera, but it could certainly grind down a lens or the cover on the lens. So how do you address that? What did you use on the outside of it?
So there's just baffling that is built to provide enough shielding to the camera. The lenses are far enough back, and they're prepared for that environment as well. And so we found, and historically, we've always gotten great imagery back from Mars, and each mission gives us another level of capability and sophistication, and this follows in that lineage. And so here we are, and I think for months and hopefully years to come, we'll have just incredible video being put together and really give you that experience like you're standing there.
Tom McCarthy, an engineer with Motive, he's talking about the camera they designed that's now on the Mars rover. Here's the thing, though. Let's talk a little bit about the other object that's on there, the other piece of gear, and that's the arm. And I would imagine, you know, the basic design of that, probably not a challenge, but you've got to be able to remotely control it and understand what's going on.
Yeah, so the arm actually, I mean, it's a sophisticated piece of equipment as well. And the biggest thing is that at the end of the arm is the turret, which carries all the science instrumentation. So that's some cameras that use different wavelengths for looking at the soil or looking at the rocks before they decide, hey, do we want to take a sample? Do we want to do a coring operation? And so then there's a big coring drill on the end of that too. Well, that whole payload, that science payload, is like 45 kilograms. And it's the arm is about 6 to 7 feet long. I always say it's like, imagine trying to hold a bag of concrete straight out and perfectly position that while you're doing your work. And it's like, there's a lot expected from that arm. It also has a sensor at the end that gives it its sense of touch so that it can go out and do those samples and then bring them back to the rover and ingest those for later encapsulation.
Are you involved in any of the aspect of it now that it's starting to do those sorts of things as far as maybe learning from that to tweak it for future use, or are you pleased the way things are going?
So far, I mean, we're extremely happy with how everything is going. Early on, we were given some updates as to the sequence. When the rover lands, there's a number of sequences that take place where the arm has a number of locks that protected itself during its launch. and ultimately its landing, those all get released. And then the arm comes out of its locks. And that's the big thing, is just to make sure that everything arrives safely. And then it was able to free itself of its lock configuration and then go about to do its science duties as they get ready to pick areas for sampling.
Well, this is exciting to be part of this. You've got to be just thrilled to be part of it, but also the patience that's involved because you're designing something that's a long-term project. It's not like you design it one day or one month, pop it on the thing and shoot it up into space and find out immediately if it's going to work or not. It's a lot of holding your breath, I would bet.
No, you're 100% right. It takes a few years, and it's a big team of people. I mean, I represent a huge team of people, engineers and technicians and project managers and so forth that came together to do this. Plus, we worked with all of our colleagues at JPL, where they're constantly adapting the design because maybe some information about the science instrument evolves over time. These arms will often build another one that will support a test bed at JPL. So they'll use a similar arm in their test bed at home, go through all the operations before they send certain commands, just to make sure that everything looks like it'll be safe and they have total familiarity with the system and then make sure that everything is working nominally. So, but it's been an incredible journey, and it's always surreal. You know, for so long it was sitting there in a clean room inside your facility and you see it every day, and then it's gone, and the next time you see it, it's on another planet. And that's a pretty fun experience.
I would imagine so. All grown up and out of the house now. How about
all
that?
All grown up.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, if folks want to find out more about what you guys are doing at Motive and about this particular project, I'm sure you got some pictures online or things we can check out.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to MotiveSS, MotiveSpaceSystems.com. We do all sorts of things in space. And so we're a part of an exciting, growing community in space, doing things for science and exploration. Hope to someday be on the moon. Lots of things going on. So really appreciate you having me today.
Well, thanks for getting up early there on the West Coast. Do appreciate that. And, of course, the big question that everybody's going to be asking after this interview talking about that camera is, when can we get that on a cell phone?
Oh, it's probably sooner than you know.
Isn't that what everybody always cares about? New camera, is it on the cell phone? Can I take a picture? Let me get a selfie with
That's
it.
Right. Yeah,
there you go. Tom McCarthy, our guest this morning. You got a great job and a great sense of humor. I appreciate both. Best of luck to you.
Hey, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Sure thing. 8:52. Let's check in with BJ, get a look at what's making headlines from the Access WD1 Hardy Chevrolet Newsroom.